Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
From the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, and I'm back. Did you miss me? I missed you. Of course you missed me. Who else is going to inform you on the latest and greatest and odd little things that are running around in the geek sphere, and then my own personal take and twist on it? We, not just I, all of us here, 5280 Geek, want to thank our sponsor, Suzy Q's, who hopefully you have seen our video on the YouTube channel, 5280 Geek, and you have checked out her magnificent wares, her Philly jewelry of spectacular shockingness. Yeah, again, I made that episode went along. Got to watch the episode. You see why Suzy just does not have a set intro. It just works. Although we did add some special effects to her intro that we did for the video portion of the podcast, which does happen. Once the world stops acting strange, it's April and it's snowing here in Colorado. I know everyone thinks that South Park is very accurate of Colorado and it's constantly snowing here, but that's not the case. It really isn't. We do see summer sometime. Spring, that's the thief right there. That's the unknown element, spring. We just skip right past it. What has been going on? I have been running around doing all sorts of crazy stuff, but it does not mean I haven't had time to stop and observe the geek in his natural element, in his pseudo basement dwelling, beanbag chair having controller in his hand covered in Cheeto dust self. No, it's not stereotyping people. None whatsoever. Not everybody eats Cheetos. So we've got some stuff. There's some things that are floating around in the news that have caught my eye. But I'm going to go right away to Falcon and Winter Soldier. We're coming into the final episode already this coming week, and I'm saddened by this. I know it won't be long before we get Loki, and then I'll have something new to fixate on, and just am totally just thrown into that, because I think Loki's going to probably be more more engaging for me. Not to say that Falcon and Winter Soldier has not been. In fact, it has been a very big surprise to me how well this series has gone. I applaud Marvel again for coming up with something outside of the box that is absolutely just it resonates so damn well. Just kind of like, you know, Ant-Man and Wasp. Again, it was one of those that was like, I wasn't expecting it, and it was great. And of course everyone's like, well, Guardians. No. If you go back, I was the only one on the train for Guardians. I knew that was gonna be a bona fide hit. I was preaching that from the rafters. So I can't admit when I'm right, because I'm right, and I can't admit when I'm wrong, and I was wrong about Winter Soldier and the Falcon. This has been probably it's just been really well orchestrated by the entire production team and what they have put together, because just of what the mishmash of the characters, but not only that, the background, the environment, the world that is Marvel and then some. We get Mad Rapport, we get, you know, the seedy underbelly of the Marvel Universe where all the bad guys hang out with Wolverine, and I mean that's kind of where it was a big deal, and you know, him showing up as Patch and the Hand is there, and just about any other evil element you can you know contemplate is somehow there, hung out, or what's going on. The Power Broker, who we're not sure who that is, will be I'm very interested to see what we get out of that. In addition to, we get like the surprise guest appearance, I guess, now that would be a regular Because if the story is going to go the way I'm thinking, we get kind of Lady Hydra. I just dropped the Omega key. We get Lady Hydra in the form of Julia Louise Dreyfus. And as much of a shocker as that was, she was just so evil. I mean, what happened from the Seinfeld days? Is the check from Seinfeld making me a little cranky in pants to be a mean, just methodical, wicked villainous? Holy crap, that one took me by surprise, and it was so spectacular to see just the vicious side of her, because I've never seen her be, I mean, we've seen her nasty on like Veep, and when she was on Seinfeld, of course, she had her moments, but I mean, this was just like borderline crazy, just maniacal, and I loved it. It was perfect. So this sets up so much more. We have one episode left, and there are so many loose ends to tie up that there's no way that it's going to happen. Especially when we get like the brass monkey bar in the background. Yes, that's what the monkey image is on the intros and all of that. It is a direct correlation to the bar that's in Medrapur that everybody, you know, the brass monkey. And to even like characters that could possibly be in the background, the power broker, of course, where is Cap is like one of the big major questions. And of course, everyone's like, he's on the moon looking over us. And, you know, it's kind of funny because it's like a reference to one of the comics. So it's fine. I don't know if we're going to find out where Cap is, because technically there is an older Cap running around. So if he's still Cap or Cap-like, what's he doing? Where is he at? Is he? He's definitely not in the beach. I don't know. I mean, it raises so many questions. Okay, where's this person? I mean, we kind of have a running tally of where everybody kind of is at the end of Infinity War, and it's great for them to kind of smooth everything out. Here's the state of things, and I know people are going to get all twisted about me on this, but it really does drive home what Thanos was saying about wiping out, you know, the population, because you see this, how far stretched and strained and everybody is once all these people come back. And, you know, it's just like, well, now all of a sudden the infrastructure is taxed. All of a sudden we have this and that and all these problems that weren't there before. It was one thing to deal with the loss and the sudden vanishing of people, but now all these people are back and we're not equipped to take care of them, to handle them. And what do we do? So it's very dualistic in how they're approaching it. And I love that they're attacking not only that, but also like the PTSD issues that Winter Soldier is still suffering through and working through. And Sam just kind of being this rock and he really strutting his stuff as a psychologist and being that shoulder, that person that, you know, vets would come to rely on, to seek guidance and direction and instruction from. And it really, I think, adds a nice dynamic to Falcon's character, because he's not, you know, rock him, sock him, come him and kick him in the balls type of thing. And Cap is, as good as he is, isn't as, I don't know, loquacious as Sam may be. And that's fine. That's not Cap's thing. He inspires, he leads, and you look to that. But Sam's a different kind of Cap. So the one thing I know, as I was watching it, I was just like, well, damn it. End of the episode comes along and we don't even get to see like a peek at the suit. Come on. What the hell? I wanted to see the suit. But no, that's how they're going to end it. The big hanging low fruit. Damn it. Sorry, I'm eating while I'm doing this. It's been that kind of day. Well, I took a couple days off, so I'm a few days behind, trying to catch up, which is fine. It's one of those things I do every once in a while. It happens once a year. So with all of that in play, I'm very curious to see how they're going to resolve this whole storyline. And they've laid a lot out there, and by no means are they going to wrap this up. This is going to get rolled over. And I have a feeling I know maybe where it's going to roll over, and that'll be coming up. I'll tell you where that's coming. But I want to finish my thoughts on Falcon and Winter Soldier, especially with Baron Zemo. Now, I think we've seen the end of him for now, just because of how that kind of story and action came about in the end of the episode. I don't want to give any spoilers because I know not everyone's caught up, and I appreciate that, but I don't want to ruin it for you. But I don't think we have seen the last of Zemo. In fact, I'm putting some Smurf berries on the fact that we are going to get their Thunderbolts. I really am starting to feel that, and it is one of those kind of like ooh moments for me, because I really liked the Thunderbolts comic book. It was fun. It was interesting at the time, and it just kind of filled a perfect niche for me when the Thunderbolts came out. And of course, the original Thunderbolts are founded by Zemo, and I'm hoping that that's the course that we're going on. I really want to see this to come to fruition, because I'm kind of siding with Zemo on a lot of things, which I don't know what kind of thing that reveals about my psyche, but I'm kind of like, wait, that can't be good. No, that's not good at all. So I don't know what all we have left for the final episode. I know that we've got Flag Smashers running all over the place. We've got a hopped up freaking wannabe fired Captain America clone guy that, you know, took the serum. And I was wondering, do you shoot that? Do you ingest it? How do you get that in? Anyway, so we're going to get, I guess, U.S. agent, or I don't know how they're going to build him into the series. So I'll be curious to see how he shows up for the final episode, because you know he's going to. He's going to be the big bad, so there'll be like a three-way fight, and things are going to go nuts. And it's going to be great, because the Flag Smashers, and I want to see how this comes to an end, because it's easy to see both sides in this. You know, you're just like, wow, this is just messed up. And it is, but how they're presenting it and everything, it's just like, wow, there's so many moving parts, and they have orchestrated it absolutely brilliantly. It's interlaced, it's interwoven, and Well done. Yay. Yay, Marvel. Yay. Well, did I see that caught my eye? Oh, there's been like a ton of trailers that hit. Evidently, Hollywood's opened the doors back up, because there has been a shit ton of trailers landing. It's hard to keep up with them. Of course, we got the Shang-Chi trailer, which it's Bruce Lee. Don't hate me when I say this, but I really wasn't a big Shang-Chi fan in the comic book days. I read it. I was like, okay. But it's just like, it's Bruce Lee. And I think there could have been a better Marvel character out there to introduce the Mandarin, or reintroduce the proper Mandarin. Or I don't know how they're going to address, you know, Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin. And I know we can't bring in Iron Man, because I'd love to see, like, you know, Mandarin come in and face off against War Machine with Don Cheadle, and I think that would just be like a blast. But I don't think they're going to do that. That's fine. I mean, you can't go the same path, and of course you want to expand. And is Marvel's answer to Bruce Lee that particular piece of the puzzle? It's an excellent question. Glad you asked. I don't know. I mean, it will be interesting, and don't get me wrong, I mean, for an action flick, it looks fun, and maybe I will be surprised again with how Marvel puts this together, but I don't know how much genie is left in that bottle. And one of my favorite caps is, of course, Winter Soldier. I mean, it's a spy film, it's got all of the proper elements of a great spy flick, and you throw in some superheroes to boot. So maybe the Shang-Chi is going to surprise me. We get the Mandarin, we get the proper Mandarin, and as a villain for Iron Man, That's great. I'm all for it. I was curious how they were going to address that in an Iron Man, especially when, you know, Ben Kingsley just doesn't strike me as the Mandarin type. And yeah, lo and behold, we were right. But what do we get? I don't know. So it'll be good to see. Pardon me. It'll be good to see what they put together. But again, we had Iron Fist. That failed miserably. And Iron Fist was, I think, a more popular character than Shang-Chi. Yeah, maybe. And then you got Heroes for Hire. And that just, it just didn't resonate. So we'll see. We'll see what Marvel does with it. Other trailers that landed was The Hitman Wife's Bodyguard. And we get everybody back. Samuel L. Jackson, Ryan Reynolds, and Selma Hayek all together again. I loved this film. In fact, if you listen to some of the older podcasts, all of us, Private Cheeseburger, AA, Ron, Tao, and Red all raved about this film. And it was perfect. It was absolutely just so well done. And to continue the story in a kind of a fun, different direction, I'm looking forward to this. And if you haven't watched it, I do know it's on our Facebook page on 5280 Geek. So if you want to go check that out, you can give it a look. Give us your thoughts. And I think the action and the premise works out brilliantly, that Samuel L. Jackson is just basically renting space in Ryan Reynolds' head and just causing him to have issues. It's so perfect. It is absolutely perfect. So can't wait to see that. The other trailer, which is probably going to be my new probably guilty pleasure, I'm thinking. Just absolutely looks, I can't wait. It's Ocean's 11 meets The Walking Dead as Dave Bautista takes a crack team of commandos to steal money from a vault in Vegas that's overran by zombies. This is a nerd's fantasy come to life. This is just all kinds of just reckless abandon and mass destruction and huge body count with nobody caring. It really I am so excited for this film. So psyched. And the trailer also is on our Facebook page if you haven't watched it yet. Please do, because I don't want to be the only one talking about this film. And I feel that it might be one of those that it might just be too ridiculous for some. And I don't know how that's possible these days, because we're living in a world of just crazy. But it just might not be not everyone's cup of tea, and I get that. But I love Dave Bautista. He's just embraced who he is. He knows what he's about. He knows he's ridiculous most of the time. And he's taken on that role, and he's expanded so much. Even with him playing Drax, I couldn't imagine someone else playing Drax at this point, because he just does it so spot on. And his dialogue and how he does everything, it's just absolutely just what I would imagine out of the comic. So again, perfect casting on Marvel's point. So to see Bautista kind of get away from that, there was a film, I don't remember the name of it, but it was with Jodie Foster, and they ran like a hospice for gangsters, and it wasn't bad. Jeff Goldblum was in it, but Bautista stole the scenes, in my opinion. And then of course they had, like, for the intros and trailers for the film, Bautista reading tranquil poetry. I just laughed. I was like, "But Batista's gonna read us some poetry? Wow, that's deep, man." Wow. So I'm excited about the summer films. I'm finally gonna go to the theaters. Finally gonna get to see some shit. I'm over the moon happy about it. Speaking of over the moon happy, this kind of led in, and this is kind of where I was thinking earlier. I kind of teased you with it, where I think we're going to get some more answers, and they're announcing more as Emilia Clarke is joining Marvel's Secret Invasion for the Disney Plus upcoming series, and that is pretty spectacular. I'm not going to lie, I liked aspects of this story. So back in the day, this is actually a comic book series that ran, what was it, 2008? I think. It's around 2008. It has to be about 2008, as I think of the Marvel timeline, where the Skrulls basically had invaded and had taken the place of some heroes inside of, like, the Avengers, S.H.I.E.L.D. They had basically woven themselves throughout just about any powerful position possible, and it is very... It's a very well-thought-out series. Now, if we add this to live action, and I know we won't have, like, the depth of characters, because everyone was looking at the other, like, are you a Skrull, are you a Skrull, and wouldn't you like to be a Skrull, too? I'm really curious how they're going to play this. So as I think we continue out of Winter Soldier and Falcon, I think this is going to plug hopefully directly into this, because we do get Nick Fury coming back. We are also getting Talos to come back, who is the Kingsley Ben-Adir, who is Talos. He was the Skrull, the shapeshifter, and I'm really looking forward to this. But I really can see how this would laterally just kind of plug into Secret Invasion. So given what we may or may not know out of Winter Soldier, because we haven't seen it yet, we don't know what the end credit scene is going to be yet, we don't know who's left to show up, and maybe we'll get a Winter Soldier series. We don't know. There's so many things in play. But in the meantime, with this being cracked out, I mean, I'm like, wow. So we're getting Danny, the Dragon Queen. I wonder what she looked like as a Skrull. I have some feelings that she might be a Skrull. I don't know what Marvel character that she could be, but I think that is kind of cool. They're not naming what character that she is going to be, so the sky's actually really the limit, because we don't have any kind of groundwork or anything in place as far as who's going to be what and all of that. If you're curious about it, the series was written by the legend Brian Michael Bendis, who is just, brought us Winter Soldier, Bendis is just on point when it comes with these intricate overlying arcs and just what he has accomplished. One of my favorite writers. I don't know if he's written a book, but he does comic good. I would recommend this to pick up. There really is some good stuff, some interesting elements that come out of Secret Invasion, and it is one of those classic, you know, looking at your neighbor, who you say you are. And I'm sure as we get closer to this, we're going to see more people expanded upon and added to the roster on this. There is a rumor about Wanda. We'll see. I don't think I'm going to go in on that one as I'm looking over what they've got, because I love the fan rumors. That's probably the biggest fun thing, is you get something named and then the fans just go freaking bonkers over everything as far as, oh, it's got to be this or this, and the fan theories that flow afterwards is just as entertaining as the announcement itself. So I don't think we'll see Scarlet Witch. I don't think we'll see Wanda in there. I don't think that's her thing. I'm just wagering a guess on that. Pretty sure on that, though. Just, yeah, pretty sure. What else would we got? I'm so excited about this. So excited. The best show of last year, the one that brought tears to my eyes and made the little boy in me just anxious and giddy all at the same time, it was Lego Masters. Lego's Masters Season 2 is coming. It's coming June 1st, and I can't wait. I just can't. Give me a moment. Yeah, okay, I'm okay. Will Arnett is also coming back. Lego Batman is in the house, and he will be running the show. And I can't imagine anyone better suited as the role in hosting this show. If you never watched Season 1 of Lego Masters, oh, my God, you missed out. And it was everything that you can imagine. It was so much like you were there, with the exception of stepping on your Legos and your bare feet in the middle of the night. It was everything and more than I expected. It really even made me kind of step up my own Lego game. Of like, you know, I could do this better, you know, as far as like my own creations and how I approach projects. And I did learn some stuff that I did not know about Lego, as far as like building and how things work. And watching some of these guys that are just, these teams are mind-blowingly talented. I mean, holy crap. The couple alone that won... every week they were just pulling out some wild ass creations, and they're doing this stuff in an hour. I mean, I'm good, but I'm not building an entire world in an hour good. And I honestly want to get, like, because there's a few of them that I'm trying to reach out to, because I want to have them on the show. I really want to interview a Lego master. I mean, I know one day. Dreams to aspire to being a Lego master, that one day I will build that threshold and cross it myself. But needless to say, I'm not there yet. I have my city. Of course, it's all centered around the Ghostbusters firehouse. It's beautiful. And the rest of the street kind of looks like Back to the Future, with different elements. It works for me. I like it. Things light up. There's a city. There's a beach, because that's where my crab shack is, and the lighthouse, and some boats. But it is a necessity, and I can't fathom doing what some of these guys did, because they were just, even like the bearded guys, who I was secretly rooting for. Actually, there was no secret. I was very vocal about it, if you listened to us, as far as wanting them to win. They were my odds favorite. They did take second place. So they did make a couple of crucial mistakes that I think, you know, the husband and wife team definitely were thinking more in line with what the judges were tuned into, which is fine. I get it. But it wasn't like anybody lost. Everyone was a winner in this, because you got to build Lego all day. And you got to blow stuff up with Lego all day. It was perfect. And I know I want to be a Lego master, but I have two huge problems with this problem, with this idea. One, I'm not that fast, and two, I'd need a partner. I know Red said she would do it, but I have a feeling she might chicken out at the last minute, and that would be that. And then I'd be out of partner. And I don't even know. I mean, Red was still kind of wishy-washy about wanting to do it. I think she was kind of like, I'd rather be there and just cheer you on. Like, okay. So I need a partner. I need a partner to do Lego Master. But, you know, hey, that's just me. It is a thing. What else caught my eye this week? Ooh. So the 80s, I mean, they've been back with a passion. We've seen a lot of reboots. We've seen some crazy shit hit the fan. Uh-oh. Stand by. Okay. Back at it. Sorry. Had to. The studio line is ringing. Things are going crazy. We've got a whole lot of stuff actually coming up for you from the Figgis Studios. And I'm excited. So many changes happening. May 1st is kind of a big red letter day for the studio, for 5280 Geek, which we will get into when May 1st rolls around. So no peaks, just know that some wild and crazy things are happening. So to get back on my train of thought about the 80s, and I know it's just like a real weird disconnect there for a second. Sorry. So here's the thing. The 80s have been back, and I get that. And there are good things about it, and there's bad things, and there's some things that just are not happening fast enough. But this is something I think that has been in the works, and I'm curious what's going to come of it. Because there's been multiple tries, and I'm referencing the Thundercats. And, of course, they premiered in 1995, and cartoon history was made, and you could hear Ho everywhere. Sorry, couldn't resist that one. But I'm really And there's been multiple failures on this trying to revitalize, trying to bring back the Thundercats. So when I see things like this, that it really kind of brings hope to my heart. And I'm referencing Adam Wingard, who is the director of Godzilla vs. Kong. And say what you will about Godzilla vs. Kong, yay, nay, Team Zilla, when the monkeys hit the floor, things like that. I get it. Not everyone liked Godzilla and Kong. Other people thought it was one of the greatest films. A few of my monster enthusiast friends were less than thrilled, but were appreciative of finally having a film to go to, so that they could see something. And I know I'm not going to out who they are, but they were pissed that Godzilla had gills. Like, seriously, Godzilla gills? No. And I kind of side with that thought, that Godzilla doesn't have gills. He's a lizard. But what say you will, it's fine. But when you see what Adam Wingard has to work with and kind of putting things together, and him now being rumored or heavily talked about around this Thundercats movie, this project, and it's going to be live action, I'm really curious to see what they've got in store. Now, of course, Adam has been quoted, and I quote, "I saw this as an opportunity to do a new type of fantasy sci-fi spectacular film that people would never see before. It's got a rich mythology, and characters are fantastic. The colors, I want to do a Thundercats film that takes you back to the 80s aesthetic. I don't want to reinvent the way they look. I want them to look like Thundercats," which warms the cockles of my heart, because that's where you get, like, why mess with perfection? It worked. It worked well. Don't fuck it up. And to hear Adam say this just outright in a statement really shows me a couple things, that he appreciates the fandom and he understands the importance of the aesthetic and the look, and we're not going to change it because it honestly worked. When Thundercats tried to do their reinvented cartoon a few years ago, I liked it. I liked the idea, and I liked how they approached the relationship of the cats with Mumra and the rest of the animal-like races that they were interacting with. So, and of course, you kept waiting for more characters to be introduced, for them to expand. Unfortunately, we didn't get any of that because the toy line was failing miserably, and that was what was driving the show, and they pulled the plug, which is disappointing. I really wanted to know more about what was going on. The cliffhanger was great. I liked the edgy kind of friction relationship between Tigra and Lion-O. It worked. It worked well. But we didn't get the rest of the story. So, and I don't know if it was just because of bad writing. The toys were not really, I mean, they were cool, but distribution on them was horrible, and I saw some, but I never saw a full line, and it wasn't anything that just jumped out at me. So there could be a lot of elements that played into the failure of the second Thundercats cartoon, and I can't argue any of that. But to change their looks, and a lot of them were drastic, they were radical. So, like, especially with, like, Tigra, Panthro was kind of still the same, but then you lop off his arms, and, well, it's Panthro just does not look the same anymore. And there was, like, a love romance triangle thing going on, and you just, it was a lot of head scratching. But all in all, you know, they tried to kind of embrace what the Thundercats could have been. An updated one, which, okay, fine, whatever. But to hear that Adam is set on not changing them, that he doesn't want to see him changed, and he's ready to do this project, is inspiring. It's kind of, I'm hopeful. My fingers are crossed. But watching the old cartoon, it is cheese. I mean, it's 80s cheese. That's just 80s cave government cheese, really, when you think about it, because it is just so over the top. And then, of course, because we know at the end of the show, because we got to give the kids a message. That's fine. I'm hoping we don't get a message at the end of the film of today. We saw what happens when Lion-O gets his ass kicked. So, I mean, we don't need the more you know at the end. It's fine. Just doing an action-packed, Thundercats-driven story. And hopefully that's what we get. Fingers crossed. I'm hopeful. I'm really, really, really hopeful that this is what we get. So no news as far as anything past this. There has been talks about reissuing or re-releasing the cartoon. I know it's playing on Hulu, but I think they're looking for a much bigger re-release or something like that. And that would be kind of happy for me. I'm all in. So there you go. That's my take on that. What else is going on? There's some crazy shit happening here in town. If you're local in Colorado, and I know a lot of you are not, because I see where the podcast goes, because we're worldwide. But if you do visit Colorado, actually, I've had people visit Colorado, and one landmark that everybody always has to go see. And this is people that are from abroad. This is people that just are the state right next to us, completely across the country. Everybody wants to go to Casa Bonita because of South Park. And that's fine. It's great. We love South Park. Our South Park brethren, tell it like it is. And one of the things as a kid, and this is accurate. This is the picture that they paint is very realistic. Because going to Casa Bonita was a thing, just like going to celebrities. It was a thing. And whereas celebrities was actually kind of a little bit different with video games, the pool, the slides, the bowling, and, all of the different things that you could do in celebrities. Then you go to Casa Bonita where, you've got, and it is literally just as bleak as it looks, because you got like the treasure trove. The food was not all that great. The sopapillas were better. But then they got Wise, because people just wanted the sopapillas, so they come in and just order them. But now they got Wise and maybe at least had to order a meal before you could get the sopapillas. We just don't do it. It's like, wow, you guys are smart. The food wasn't that great. The cliff divers were entertaining. It is one of those deceiving type of things, is when you are out in front of Casa Bonita's. You don't know what you're getting when you go in. It's just one of those misleading kind of faces, kind of like when you're going to Pirates of the Caribbean in California. It's like, wow, this is a pirate ride. Okay, looks like a Victorian house. And so you get Casa Bonita, who's been in business for 47 years, unfortunately, with the Rona and everything that's going on, have filed for bankruptcy. And this is sad. This is sad news. I mean, and everyone kind of has said the exact same thing that I'm saying right now of, well, the food wasn't that great, and cliff divers were fun to watch, and the sopapillas were okay. The kids run around and scream, probably get TB from the old props. We got to save this. and it's very accurate to the situation. It is kind of one of those heritage moments of, I know when more people visit. I had some friends, some coworkers actually, back in the day when I had a muggle job, come to town that were like, we want to go see Casa Bonita. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And they're like, no, we want to go to Casa Bonita. We can go to the steakhouse. We got a budget. No. We want to go to Casa Bonita. All right, Casa Bonita it is. So it's literally a thing. And I don't want to see this tradition, albeit as backwards as it may sound, to just kind of dissolve away like celebrities. Because celebrities, when it went down, was kind of a tragic day. It was one of those moments of it's the end of the innocence. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I don't feel fine. You see this childhood memory, this place that you would go and hang out, and I mean, I remember my high school years of going and really having fun. Hell, I knew people that worked there when they were in high school, and that was their summer job. And I know people that listen to this podcast that worked at Celebrities. And when they tore that down to put in a fucking Home Depot, you got to be kidding me. And it just hurts. And maybe there's a bulldozer in Casa Bonita's future that maybe we can avoid. I don't know. There is a GoFundMe that has gone up. Andrew Novak is the one fan, the number one fan, evidently, that has decided to do this. There have been a lot of people that have kind of jumped in and have voiced kind of the same thing. One of the quotes from a fan that was talking about this, and I quote, "If we had it our way, we would raise enough money and interest to raise capital to buy it from the existing owner." So that's one of the people said. I don't know if I would buy it from the owner, but I definitely would tell them to get a paint job. Just use the money, get some paint. There are different levels, and I haven't checked to see where the GoFundMe is sitting at, but they're taking different levels of donations, $25, $50, $100, $250, and they're trying to get a bunch of other different items for, you know, people at different levels. If you do this, you get, you know, like, I think there was one, like, a pin. It was a Casa Bonita pin. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. T-shirts, poster, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's, and another person quoted, it's really is like a landmark to the city. And there's no missing it when you go down Colfax. And in fact, Nick was quoted as saying, "Our goal is to reach out to as many people as possible and have money to have it, have a seat at the table. And if there is anything we need to do, we will be ready." You sound like militia, Nick. You sound like you're ready to be called to arms to defend the pride of Casa Bonita. I'm of two minds on this, and I really don't want to see Casa Bonita fail. You can go check out the GoFundMe page, Nick's GoFundMe page, at savecasabonita@gmail.com for larger donations. But Save Casa Bonita on the GoFundMe is still live, as far as I know. I don't know if I can find it with all my other functioning windows that I got open right now, but I mean, it really is quite the landmark. You can't get around it, and I remember when I went. So there you go. It is what it is. In fact, here we go. Last quote, and then we'll move on to, because there's another topic. It kind of plugs into this. The Lakewood mayor, Adam Paul, said, we've made it a goal that before I'm done being mayor, I want to cannonball from the waterfall in an interview with the Westward magazine in February. So that's another motivation that they stay open so I can get that done. That's a good bucket list. Sure. The owner was quoted saying, "Every day that Casa Bonita stays closed, it's increasingly difficult to get it reopened." Wheaton told the publication, "Our top priorities, they are the dive area and the waterfall, which require constant attention, even when not in use." So there you go. That's the dire straits of Casa Bonita. So as one bar, restaurant, institution fails, another one rises up and opens to take its place. As Denver announces its horror theme bar with special horror screenings of movies and specialty cocktails. So this is over off of Colfax, and it was like a coffee shop that was there, and it ends up getting a facelift to be kind of like a horror-themed venue. It's very interesting to read this. After the, you know, Rona and everything else, Nathan Straczynski decided that he'd kind of, you know, mix things up, try to add a little kick to the shop. And with the help of his friend, John Schmitz, they're the ones that kind of came up with this very intriguing idea. So it's a lot of their collection added to the bar area, and they're doing a lot of different specialty cocktails that you can go and check out. I'll put a link to the bar in the Facebook post and reading. And I'll put it up with the podcast post itself. So you can kind of go check it out. It looks kind of fun, and I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if this would just be, I don't know how quickly this would be, like, just turned. Because you can only take, I mean, you kind of go in spurts, and, you know, once you try some of the specialty cocktails, and you kind of go through and you see the horror stuff, okay. And, you know, let's face it, not every horror film is the same. And even the guys that opened it, like, well, some of them we have on VHS. So VHS quality on some of them, which is fine. I mean, not everything can be, you know, fresh and new, especially when you're dealing with, like, older horror stuff. But I'm curious. We haven't been. Of course, this story landed and everybody jumped on it, sent me links. Red and I have already been, you know, invited by Brett Leader One to go and hang out and check it out, which I'm all for. I'm ready to go and just kind of take in an afternoon of horror, I think. I don't know. I can't, because I'm trying to envision, because at least with, you know, like Casa Bonita, it, you know, it's like a whole thing. But, you know, with the horror bar, I mean, I don't see like a horror rush at night. You know, people come in for a couple of special cocktails, hang out, take in the sights, and go on to the next bar. So, I don't know. I don't know if this is a short-term fix. I don't know if this is something that they plan on maintaining for, you know, for X amount of years. So, it'll be very, very curious to see what they come up with. But it's their love for horror movies that started long before the concept even came up. So it just really worked. So there you go. Yeah. All right. So good luck. And we'll let you know when we go in there, because I really want to know what's going on. I want to check it out, because I appreciate these guys, because they're even talking about when they would go to the video store and get horror films, and I did the exact same thing. We talked about it a couple weeks ago with, you know, the last Blockbuster and the fun of going to the video store and figuring out what it is you're going to rent. So I spent many a time and many a dime on the horror section. So that for sure is a thing. So we'll let you know what it looks like when we go check it out. And what else? That kind of looks like that's it. Weird story popping up that Netflix plans to spend $17 billion on content in 2021. Okay, that's, wish I had that kind of budget. What else? I think that's kind of this week's rundown. As always, check out our pages. Check out our content on Facebook. Go to our webpage, our channel on YouTube, all under 5280 Geek. Like, subscribe, help us out. We are always here to entertain. You'll see the rest of the crew back together next week, I think. We got everyone back once the world stops doing crazy stuff. And that's fun. We like that. What else? Check out Red's page, of course. She's doing some interesting projects. You will see them hopefully come to fruition at the Colorado Festival of Horror, which we will be at in September. We also have the All Seas Fan Expo that we will be at in June. Wow. God, right around the corner. Just a couple months away, there is a just a posse of celebrities and creatives that will be there for this con, and it is 100% free. We will be there. We'll be doing interviews and setting the stage for people to experience it if you're unable to make the All Seas Fan Expo, which, again, I said is free, free con, and retailers, well worth it, totally worth coming by. But, yeah, that kind of wraps up this week's stuff. So, like I said, like, subscribe, give us a message if you've got any questions. Always here for you. But in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.